Okay. What we'd like to discuss in preparation for Yom HaTzmaut and preparation for Heiyar, which do not fall on the same day this year, but this time of year, in preparation, what I'd like to do is to discuss something that we are all very familiar with, and that is HaTikvah. And I'd like to discuss HaTikvah from a halachic perspective on one end, and also a hashkafic approach and how we can relate to a tikvah and what it means as religious Jews, and is it something that does resonate with us? Is it something that does not resonate with us? And how does it play into the life of a religious Zionist at the same time? So we're going to try to tackle both ends. What I'm about to do now is I'm going to give you the background of the history of a tikvah and its author. I am not an expert in its history, but the Encyclopedia Judaica is. So I'm just going to read very quickly a summary of what the Encyclopedia Judaica tells us about HaTikvah. It says, HaTikvah is the anthem of the Zionist movement, a national anthem of the State of Israel. The poem was written by Naftali Hertz Imber. Its inspiration seems to have been the news of the founding of Petach Tikvah. The themes of the poem show influence of German and Polish patriot songs. For example, the phrases "as long as" or "Poland is not lost yet while we still live." In 1882, Imber read the poem to the farmers of Rishon LeZion, who received it with great enthusiasm. Soon afterward, probably in the same year, Samuel Cohen, who had come to Palestine from Moldavia in 1878, set the poem to a melody which he consciously based on the Moldavian-Romanian folk song. The tune of HaTikvah is found in a lot of folk songs. In religious Zionist families, there is a tradition of singing Tehillim Kuf Chaf Vav 126 of the Shuv Hashem Tzion with the melody of HaTikvah. Right? A lot of people sing Shir Malos with the tune of HaTikvah. Just as a side note, which is not in the Encyclopedia Judaica, when the vote came up to declare what would be the national anthem of the Zionist movement, there was one other main competing song, and that was Shir HaMalos, to the tune sung by Yosla Rosenblatt, that we all know, Shir HaMalos. So that tune was the competing song, and it lost to HaTikvah. In 1888, Imber returned to Europe, but soon his restless nature took him back to the East, and he wandered as far as Bombay. In India, as in Palestine, he was wooed by missionaries and was later accused of apostasy. In 1892, he went to the United States and traveled throughout the land. After a brief visit to London, he returned to America, where he spent the rest of his life in squalor, misery, and alcoholism. So, certainly a very colorful background to the author of a poem that resonates with many, many Jewish people. Now, based on this biographical information, so we can now appreciate a tshuva from Rav Avram Weinfeld. Rav Avram Weinfeld was a Rav in Muncie after the Holocaust. And his tshuvos Lev Avram are fascinating. He has very interesting tshuvos about all different types of things that were going on in America at this time. And this is a tshuva in Siman Kuf Lamed Daled 134. And there he was asked the following question. Is it appropriate to sing Shir HaMalos to the tune of HaTikvah? That was his question. Based on what we know about the author, Naftali Hertz Imber, and based on the history of the Zionist movement, the secular Zionist movement, is it appropriate, he asks, to sing Shir HaMalos to the tune of HaTikvah? And he begins by noting what many people already know, that the secular Zionists were very much against Torah and mitzvos, and that they wanted to make Zionism their new religion, and the land of Israel should be their new religion, and to take away the structure of Torah and mitzvos from their religion. And the author of the poem, he says, that the tune is attached to, was certainly not a role model of proper Jewish life, as we just discussed very briefly. And the Zionists have, he says, have brought this tune into the Beis Medrash, and they have brought Choshech into Or, where there's light, and the song of HaTikvah, he says, brings darkness where there is light. And he says, someone who is Shomer Benafsho, someone who guards his soul, should distance himself from singing this song, HaTikvah. Now, let's be honest, by Weinfeld is someone who was certainly a Haredi Rav in America after the Holocaust. So he's not, but we'll see, he's not your classic speaker at that time. He then goes on to cite a famous tshuva of the Krach Shel Romi. The Krach Shel Romi was tshuvos that were written in the city of Rome. And in Siman Aleph, the Krach Shel Romi notes that he was lenient when it came to singing parts of davening to the tunes that were used in the church. And he writes that there were many, many rabbanim and many, many chazanim who would go behind the church when they would sing the hymns in the church in Rome, and they would go and they would take the tunes and they would adopt the tunes and would use them in the singing of the Yom Noraim. And this went on for centuries, where the Jews would adopt the secular tunes or even the Christian tunes and take them and make them part of davening. And the Krach Shorami says, this is Minag Yisrael. We take the tune, we're Mekadesh it, we raise it up, we make it our own, and therefore, that's why these things are not a problem. But, says Rav Weinfeld, this is not the same case. Because he says, in the case of Hatikva, so the song and the poem was composed specifically to move people towards Zionism, away from Torah Mitzvos. It was specifically designated to replace Torah and Mitzvos with this new religion of Zionism. And therefore he says that the Krach Shoromi's Heter doesn't apply to singing Shir HaMalos to HaTikvah. It's been mentioned in the past, there are many other shulos regarding taking the influence of a song from an improper source, or Moshe has a tshuva about perhaps a well-known singer, a Jewish singer who might have done things that were improper. And Rav Moshe discusses whether you can use his tunes when it comes to tefillah and davening and things alike. So this is not a new question. So Rav Weinfeld is just bringing it back to the forefront. He finishes with a quote from the Sefer, Shivchei Ruchaim Vital. Ruchaim Vital was the famous student of the Arizal, right? We know that really Arizal, only all the Torah we have from Arizal was really written down in a year. Ruchaim Vital and the Arizal only were with each other for a year. The Arizal died, I think, when he was 40, very, very young. And Ruchaim Vital only that year. And all that we have from the Arizal is from a year's time. And he wrote down a tremendous amount. So there's a sefer called the Shivchei Ruchaim Vital, which writes down, which records a lot of the ideas from Ruchaim Vital. So he says, and this is what Rabbi Weinfeld wants to bring as a source, says Ruchaim Vital, that it's true that the songs that were composed by a certain author, that the Shivchei Ruchaim Vital doesn't tell us, that his songs are, they're good, but he says this composer of these songs was not good. And therefore, we can't use his song, since he, as a person, was not a good person. And Rabbi Weinfeld notes, as we already said, that the author of HaTikvah might have become an apostate, perhaps, and he certainly was an alcoholic, according to everyone. And therefore, are these the types of ideas that we want to instill in ourselves when we sing the song of HaTikvah? And therefore, he quotes Ruchaim Vital, saying that if the person is no good, then we shouldn't sing their songs. This is the approach of the Lev Avram and Simon Kuf Laminit Dali. Now, there are a number of issues with the tshuva. Let's discuss some of the major issues. The first is that his source. Now, some of the academics point out an issue with the source of the Lev Avram, because the Shivchei Ruchaim Vital is really based on another sefer. It's based on a sefer called the Sefer Chazyonos. The Sefer Chazyonos was the main sefer, and the Shivchei Ruchaim Vital is an abridgment of the Sefer Chazyonos. And the Sefer Chazyonos there tells us, who is this author that Ruchaim Vital didn't like, and he didn't want you to sing his songs? Because if we could figure out who the author is, then we can say, do we pass him like Ruchaim Vital or do we not? If we sing the songs of this author that Ruchaim Vital didn't like, so then we don't follow Ruchaim Vital. But if we don't sing his songs, so then we would be able to say, oh, we don't sing the songs of the person that we don't like. So if you look in the Sefer Chazyonos, it tells us that Ruchaim Vital is talking about Rabbi Yisrael Nazara, who's the author of Ka Ribon Olam, which we sing every single Shabbos. And therefore, yes, Ruchaim Vital says that we don't, we shouldn't sing his songs because whatever his issues were with this person who wrote this song, therefore we shouldn't sing them. But we see that we do sing Ka Ribon Olam, and therefore it's hard to use Ruchaim Vital as a proof if we don't really follow him, because we do sing the song Ka Ribon Olam, even though Ruchaim Vital might not have liked Rabbi Yisrael Nazara for whatever reason. That's issue number one. Issue number two with Rabbi Weinfeld's proof is that he's slightly off on the history, as we said before. Rabbi Weinfeld thinks that the author of HaTikvah is also the author of the song that HaTikvah goes along to. But that's not the case, as we said. HaTikvah is really from an old Moldavian folk song. And that is exactly the case of the Krach Shalomi. That's the same case as the rabbis going behind the church and lifting off the tune. They took the Moldavian folk song and they adapted it to Atikva, and therefore, why is that any different? And therefore, the song of Atikva wasn't written by wasn't written by Naftali Herz Imber. If the song was written by Naftali Herz Imber, so then we'd have what to discuss, but it wasn't. And therefore, it seems that, even though Roy Weinfeld is certainly entitled to his opinion, much more than I am, but his arguments don't seem to fit with what he's trying to say. Just the accuracy of his statement doesn't fit. We take tunes all the time and we adopt them, and perhaps the words of Atikva are questionable, which we'll get to momentarily, but certainly on its own, the song certainly is not problematic. I just want to make one comment about Rabbi Weinfeld and just to show you what type of a person he was, what type of a nuanced Talmud Chacham he was. In the same Sefer Lev Avram, there's a record of an essay that he wrote in the Torah Journal HaMaor in 1957. In 1957, the Journal HaMaor was a very popular rabbinic journal where Rabbanim wrote in articles, Devei Torah, Halacha, Hashkafa, whatever it was. So the editor asked many of the Rabbanim in America to weigh in on the issue of the State of Israel. And these are all Yeshivish Haredi Rabbanim, and they wanted to know, Rabbis, what do you have to say about this State of Israel? It's 9 years old. How should we approach it? What does Das Torah say about these issues? And he writes an amazing, amazing article. And he says as follows, that there's a difference between halacha and metzias. He says, if you want to know halacha, so you go to the rabbi and you ask the rabbi the question, and the rabbi tells you the halacha. But if you want to know how to analyze reality, something occurred in the world, I need to know, how do I approach this event that happened, this metzias, he says? So we have a number of issues. His first thing is that it's not easy to paskin on metzias, world events. I can't look at an event and say, this is good, this is bad. It's not a chicken. You look at the chicken and you say the chicken is treif or the chicken is kosher. World events are not easy to decide. And he says, even if you could decide on hashkaf and metzias, he says that it's probably better to say, Eini yodeh, I don't know. He says a smart person, when they're presented with a situation that's unclear, you want to analyze the founding of the State of Israel, and it's unclear to you whether this is good or bad, he says a smart person says, Eini yodeh, I don't know. I can't say for sure whether this is good or bad. And he says, the only thing we can be absolutely sure about is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just. Whatever it is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the right decision. And he says as follows. He says, on one side, the Zionists, you're maybe a little bit too extreme. Everything, who says this is the beginning of Mashiach? Maybe it's not. You can't be for sure. And the other side, the anti-Zionists, who says you're right? How do you know you're right? How do you know for sure that the State of Israel is something that is bad? And therefore he says, just you're going to go to a Kaddish Baruch Hu and say, the State of Israel can't be the coming of Mashiach, because this is not the way that I wanted it to be? He says, who are you to say that, you're going to tell Hashem that this is a good plan or this is a bad plan? This is the history. This is the events that unfolded before us. And no one has the right to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, good job. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bad job. It's up to Hashem to lay out the Metzias, and we just have to say that we don't know. And he says, we shouldn't have a holiday with Hallel and Thanksgiving. And also, we shouldn't fast and read Vayichal and Shul. He says, better to just to say, I don't know, when it comes to analyzing the situation. Goes on to talk about world events at that time, and the Suez Crisis, and whether Israel should have attacked or should not have attacked. And he says that, I showed this to other Rabbanim, Reuven Grzovsky agreed with what I had to say, and Rabbi Yisrael Veltz, who were two Gedolim in America at the time, he also agreed with what I had to say. And then in the next letter, he was attacked for what he had to say, because it was very nuanced, and usually people don't like nuanced approaches to things, so he was attacked. And then he reiterates his points again in the next article, and he says again, when it comes to emuna and belief, we don't paskin like halacha. And he says again that not all questions have definite answers to them. And then he says that personal feelings can't distort what the truth is in front of you. You can't say, well, I didn't want the State of Israel to be successful, and therefore I'm going to say the State of Israel is bad. And he just gives a beautiful, nuanced approach. And he says that everyone who thinks that they're right is biased. And he says, better when it comes to these things to be Shevi Al Tasa, and to not make any extreme declarations. Why did I give this whole background, even though it has nothing to do with Hatikva? Because I want you to appreciate where Rabbi Weinfeld says, I'm not such a fan of Hatikva. He's not coming angrily banging down on the door. He's a very smart, very carefully thought out person, and when he says that maybe there's something wrong with Hatikva, he's coming from a very clear and thought out perspective. Okay, now, what is it about Hatikva in the words? So, many Rabbanim had a bunch of issues with Hatikva. So, Rav David Lipschitz, who's Rosh Yeshiva NYU, Lubavitcher Rebbe, all had issues with the phrase, Lios am chovshi be'artseinu, that we should be a nation that is free in our land. Chovshi, we should be free from mitzvos? Of course, we have Hashem. We're not free. We're of the Hashem. We serve Hashem. And therefore, they felt that that line was problematic. The right, it says we have to be in Eretz Yisrael, we need to be Shomer Torah Mitzvos. The Nabi Yecheskel notes in Parachaf, the Jewish people said, we want to be like the Goyim of the rest of the land, you know, who have nobody over them. That's Leos Amchoshi Beretzema, they said. We have a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and this is problematic. He says, right, they like to say in Eretz Yisrael b'li Torah, k'guf b'lo neshama. Right, Eretz Yisrael without a Torah is a body without a soul. We need to have Torah, we're not Chavshi. That's why they would say, Leos Am Dati, or Leos Am Kodshi. They would switch the words when the Lodge Rebbe didn't recite a Tikva, but when David Lipschitz said it, he would switch the words to reflect what he felt was more appropriate and correct. In addition, Rav Kook was not a fan of Hatikva at all. Even though this is before the founding of the state, Hatikva was still popular and Rav Kook was very much effective and alive. In the Igros Haraya, in Rav Kook's letters, in Chelek Dalid, on page 57, he writes that singing Hatikva and drinking Carmel wine is not enough to build up Beis Yisrael. You right, like to say a person thinks they're a good Jew, they march in the Israeli Day Parade, they give to Israel bonds, you know, and that should cover them for the year. Says Rav Kook, that's not the case. He says, Lo shiras hatikva levadan, v'lo kriyas heidad, ushtiyas yayin karmel levadan. Doing these things that appear very Zionistic, that's not enough to build a Eretz Yisrael. Tihyena l'avnei binyan b'yadenu livnos es Beis Yisrael. These are not the foundations to build up a Jewish home. Rak zechiros ushmiras briso. We need to keep the Torah al pi derech ha-Torah v'ha-mitzvah. Hi tihyalanu liyasod mosadul evin pina. Keeping Torah mitzvos in Eretz Yisrael, that's what makes the Jewish homeland. Not singing Hatikva and drinking Israeli wine or watching a new Israeli film that comes out to America. In fact, Rav Kook wrote a poem in response. And this is the paper that we have here in front of us. Rav Kook wrote what he hoped to be the national anthem, but it did not exactly catch on. It is popular in Rav Kook's yeshiva in Merkaz Harav and in his circles, but I just want to bring it here to see how Rav Kook responded to some of the issues. Where he agreed with Hatikva, he left it intact. But where he disagreed, he changed and came up with different expressions. This is published in the Oros HaRa'aya on page Nun Tes, you see here at the bottom. He actually wrote it, as it says, when he was in London, when he was stuck in London in World War I. He wrote it at that time when he was longing for Eretz Yisrael. He says that, Tikva, Rav Kook understands that the word Tikva, hope, is not a Jewish concept. He says a Jewish concept is emunah, we have belief. He says Tikva is a pessimistic view. I hope that something good should happen. He says a Jew believes with emunah, that we trust and believe that Hashem has a plan. And therefore, he changes the key beginning, right? In Hatikva we say, kol od balevav, o od lo. Those expressions of ode are expressions of pessimism. As long as we hold on to this, things will be okay. As long as things we have Eretz Yisrael, then you know at least we'll hold on to a shred of Jewish life. Kol Od, says Rav Kook, is a very pessimistic view of looking at the land of Israel. The Pasuk in Iyov Chav Zayin Gimel says, Ki kol od nishmasi bi. As long as my neshama is with me so I can, you know, hold on to something good. A very negative approach. It's an expression of desperation, a language of last resort. So Rav Kook rejects this expression. How does he begin his poem Ha'amunah? La'ad chaya bilvavenu. All of our hearts, the hearts of the Jewish people, are forever. La'ad, they're filled with strong belief in returning to Eretz Yisrael. Emunah, says Rav Kook, it's not just a hope. We don't have some pessimistic view of Eretz Yisrael. Rather, we have firm belief that this is where we're supposed to be. So in the first stanza of Atikva, he makes a condition, right? As long as there are feelings in one's heart that the Jewish soul is alive and looking towards Eretz Yisrael, then in the second stanza, so od lo avda tikvasenu, then we'll know that we haven't lost our hope, right? As long as we hold on to Eretz Yisrael, we'll still have, you know, some remnant of the Jewish people. In contrast, so Rav Kook says something else. What does he say? La'ad chaya bilvavenu hamuna hane'emana. That we have belief and trustworthy and unconditional faith in Hashem. We don't waver. We're not pessimistic. Hashem is always going to be by our back. Totally reversing the message of Hatikvah. There's a strong faith that we're going to be in Eretz Yisrael. Where he says Hatikvah is a secular concept. Next. This idea of Emunah versus Atikvah is also carried on by Rav Kook's son, the Tzvi Yehuda Kook. So in his Sichos on Dvarim, on page Shinnun Dalid, he also says that having Tikvah, having hope, is not necessarily a Jewish concept. Aval berekanus mitor ve'emunah, mofia chulsha b'makom emunah. When a person is empty of Torah and faith, so then, and you don't have any Emunah, you have Tikvah. When I have nothing to hold on to, so I have tikvah, I hope things will be good. Alanu, but we, the people who are Shomer Torah Mitzvos, Yishlanu Emunah Chayal B'Vavenu. We have a belief in Hashem, that Hashem is going to be with us the entire time. Lo Rak Tikvah Senu. Not just a hope that things will turn out okay. And in the notes there, so Shlomo Avinash, who's the editor of that volume, he tells an amazing story. He says that Rav Shabtai Shmuel, who's one of the first students in Merkaz Harav, was originally a Talmud in Shari Torah in Grodno by Rav Shimon Shkat. And one Simchas Torah, one Purim in Shari Torah, so the Bachrim got drunk, as is the meaning of Bachrim on Purim, and they started to sing Hatikvah. So the Mashgiach in Grodno got very upset. You're singing Hatikvah, it's not appropriate. And he started yelling at them. But Rav Shimon, who was sitting there, Rav Shimon Shkab was sitting there, he said nothing. He sat quietly, and he didn't make such a big deal. So Tzvi Yehuda Kook pointed out, he says, this is the difference between the Mashgiach of the Yeshiva, who's trying to look after the Yeshiva, versus a Gon Olam in Midos, and who understands human character. He says, this is not the place to fight, the place to scream, the place to scream, or to yell. You need to be sensitive to the Bachrim, and to still have some attachment to what they want to hold on to. In the Shivchei Ra'aya, which is again notes from Rav Kook's life, so on page Shinnun Beis, so they said that Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook loved singing the Shir Amunah that his father wrote during the Simchas Beis HaShoeva in Merkaz Harav, and they would sing it with emotion and power, and if you have a moment, you can go onto YouTube, and they have the tune there, and watch them sing it. It's a very beautiful tune, a very beautiful song. It's certainly worth a few minutes to see the lyrics along with the tune. Rav Shlomo Aviner, was asked a question whether one is required to stand during Hatikvah. You're in a place where people are saying Hatikvah, and you don't want to stand for whatever reason. Do you have to stand? So he said, yes. He says, you do have to stand, because Hillel tells us, Al Tifrosh Minat Tzibur. You can't separate from the community. And if the Tzibur is saying Hatikvah, you need to stand. It's not might not necessarily be the exact song that we hope for. It's not Hamunah of Rav Kook, but nonetheless, this is what the community does, and therefore it's appropriate to stand. In Rav Avner, again, in his Sefer Am V'Yartso, on page Reishon Aleph, he says that there's no Isser singing Hatikvah, even though it doesn't contain any mention of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And he says if the entire community is singing Hatikvah, you need to join in, since you're showing and demonstrating your connection to Eretz Yisrael by participating with the rest of the Tzibur. He says, nonetheless, this is certainly not part of Tefillah. He says no one should take Hatikvah and put it into Tefillah. It shouldn't be part of a Yom HaZmut celebration in Shul. It's separate. It's something else. But within davening, it is certainly not appropriate. And it certainly wasn't established by Chazal, and it certainly wasn't established by Talmidei Chachamim. And he says, regarding the issue of Lios Am Chofshi, right? Right, we had the issue before. Is that an appropriate phrase, Lios Am Chofshi, that we should be free? Sort of Avinair, who's generally a very positive person, has a very positive twist here on Lios Am Chofshi. He says that Lios Am Chofshi means that we are going to be free in the sense that we're not in Golos anymore, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is taking care of us, and we're free to be keep Torah and Mitzvot in Eretz Yisrael, and that's his approach. And that's his approach to these issues. He says you don't have to change it to, you know, Dati or Kadshi, whatever you want to change it to. So, just to sum up the idea of Hatikvah, does it have questionable...
Is Hatikvah a Tanakh word? Is the word Atikva in Tanakh?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
I have a concordance here. I'll check it out.
I'm going to check it out.
So, I'm not sure, but certainly we see from...
Oh, what is it?
No, that's Benny Friedman.
What's that?
No, that's Benny Friedman.
She's talking
about... Yeah, yeah.
That's Benny Friedman.
Yeah,
that's
Benny Friedman.
Yeah,
that's
Benny
Friedman. He made up the words.
No.
Yeah.
No.
You know what it is.
So,
no, it doesn't.
The word
Yeshtik Valley.
Oh, yeah.